This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back. It's Kelly and Company, Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. It's amazing when you don't know and why someone breached you, Ramya, going back to our conversation at the end of our chat with John. It really is funny to me because so many of us just don't even worry about it. I mean, I have people say, hey, I think an identity sent something to me. You seem to come up with, what are you? Because I don't thrive on Facebook. I never think about it. Never think of the ramifications of what it could lead to.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I appreciated that John said it's very inconvenient when you go through an identity theft because, yeah, that's the kind of world we live in when we need to hear stuff like that. Oh, man, really? It's going to be hard work after? Okay.
And it's going to generally be the way it's going to be. We're going to have this. It's going to be a norm, more normal to have someone steal an identity or compromise you, unfortunately, than we'd love to admit. Mm-hmm. On Wednesdays and Fridays, we have our regional content report. Today, Karen McGee is joining us, AMI content development specialist out in Ottawa. McGee, what's going on today? How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's finally Friday.
Yeah?
Yep. I know my voice is still bad.
I wasn't saying a thing.
She felt it.
Kind of hard to miss. Kind of hard to miss.
Mad that you say it that way.
On Mondays, it's much better. But then during the week, meetings... Because, you know, life. And then by the time I get to you guys, I'm sorry. You get all that's left. You get the leftovers.
We still love you.
I think we'll have to put her on Fridays. Maybe we should do these things on Mondays. We'll have to do them Monday and Wednesdays. Maybe that's a switch we'll make.
Do you want us to change the schedule, Karen?
You do whatever's best for you. I will do what I'm told.
Yeah, well, you know, then there's a little more of that strength in the voice by then. But you'll get that all sorted out. We'll have the old Karen voice back in no time. Very interesting discussion point here to start out with, Karen. A woman from Montreal has designed a new seat so people with disabilities can feel more comfortable traveling. This is very nice.
So Sandra Gualteri, she found seats in airplanes to be uncomfortable to the point that it was painful for her. She has cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair. So she was wondering if this was just her or whether it was other people. So she did a small survey of people with disabilities and found that 72% of people that she heard back from said that they experience pain or discomfort when sitting on airplane seats. So what some people may not realize, and I didn't realize this, is that wheelchair seats are formed to people's bodies. So they're very specific for that particular user. Mm-hmm. So sitting somewhere else, that's why sitting somewhere else can be very painful.
Right.
So she teamed up with 4 mechanical engineering students from McGill to design a special seat for planes. Now, I know we're not all traveling by planes right now, but at some point we will be again. I have faith. So the seat she designed goes on top of a regular airplane seat, and it kind of looks like almost like a booster seat, but it doesn't have the height and that for a person. So it's got a back and a bottom, and the design I saw, it was gray, and it's made out of memory foam, mm-hmm. and it conforms to the user's body. It also offers support to hold the person's seat upright, as well as the neck and head support. So it's simple, but it looks like it could be very effective, making travel comfortable for people when we can travel again. It's going to happen, right? Please tell me it's going to happen.
It will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this something too that the person brings, or is this something the airplane would have and put on seats for people? I would assume, you know, if they request it, but I'm assuming it's probably something you purchase and travel with because it's had that. Well, and again, you got to travel with it. So how do you get around that? I wonder. So if you fold it up or anything, you crumple it out of the memory form position.
So that's still to be determined in the TBA column. Transport Canada still needs to approve this. And then the airlines have to decide whether they will provide the seats to passengers or allow them to be brought on by individuals. And, you know, hopefully this will be done in a timely manner, like by the time people have to fly again. I'm really stuck on people not being able to travel.
We'll get to the response in just a moment. But, you know, what people have thought about it so far, what I find interesting, too. You know, when you talk about a person in a wheelchair, many of us don't really realize that seat is set. I remember having a conversation with Brock Richardson about his chair and how the time is to get it set for the person. It's like you're standing in, you know, and someone's painting a picture of you because they're trying to get it right, get it positioned for your comfort because of the copious amount of time that many people spend in their chair or might have to. And that's so important. So this is ingenious. Has there been any other responses other than, you know, well, we have to let it go pass and we'll figure out if we're going to do it here, the transportation and everything like that? How about individuals that have tried it?
So not a lot of people have tried it. People are lining up to be the first ones to try it. She had a lot of offers from people wanting to try it. And something else that should note, it actually won first place in the Social Innovation Enterprise category at McGill's Dobson's 2021 Cup, which is a startup competition hosted by the university. So it sounds like there's a need. It's being recognized as being a really innovative product. And, you know, when you look at it, it's very simple. But again, it takes somebody realizing this, and we talk about this a lot, somebody realizing there's a need and there's taking the time to think of a solution that doesn't cost a fortune. And it's something that, when you think about it, is very, very simple.
And Karen, a solution that will work for some, not be of interest to others, and we now say that's okay, instead of being whatever the demarcation line used to be of, well, if enough people want it, I guess we can look into it, and
yes,
then we can, if a good amount of people want it, then we can pay for producing it, or it's going to be a huge amount of money for a class of people who may be a little more strapped that way and not have the funds to throw at something like this unless we can find, if we can find someone to sponsor paying for it. There were too many ifs in the bottom line of somebody just saying, you know what, I'm going to try something and see what I can do here.
Yeah, if it makes one person comfortable, in my mind, it's worth it. I was going to say, if it makes one person go to Disney, then it's worth it. But, you know, that's a little too on brand for me.
Karen on the plane to Disney with it.
September 25th. That's my goal. just the thought, like, there's a lot of people who travel and, you know, different needs of, you know, just to make it comfortable for people, because it's traveling is like the worst. On a plane is the worst. And any little bit you can do to make it more comfortable for people, to me, is a win-win-win. Because more people will travel that way.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, traveling on an airplane is uncomfortable to begin with, whether it's 2 hours or 15. So this kind of thing, to make anyone feel a little bit more comfortable and make that opportunity more viable for them, is really, really nice. You want to talk about, Karen, our next story is a recent opinion piece in the Ottawa Citizen sheds light on the topic of accessibility on the Gatineau Parkway. So for people who may not be familiar with the Ottawa area, can you tell us a little bit about it?
So the Gatineau Parkway, it's part of Gatineau Park, and it's just north of Ottawa in Quebec, if the name Gatineau didn't give that away. So it's a super popular spot for people to get exercise, enjoy the weather. There's some beautiful scenery, lots of things to do, especially in the fall, like the great scenery in the fall. The parkway is a scenic drive through the Gatineau Park. There's hiking trails, cross-country ski trails, beaches, campgrounds. There is an unofficial nude beach. I have no personal experience. I've just read about it. It has also been used as a recreational park since the early 1900s. People from other parts of the country may have heard of it because Meech Lake is actually part of the Gatineau Park. So Meech Lake, where the Meech Lake Accord was signed, is a big part of this park. It's a lovely, lovely spot. Paranordic cross-country ski trials are held there quite often. It's always something going on. It's a lovely place to get exercise and enjoy some of the great outdoors this country has to offer.
Oh, well, that's amazing. And yes, there's so much that you mentioned with what's available or potentially available for
people. You're stuck on the nude beach, aren't you?
Yeah. That's right. Not the ski hills. Okay.
What happened? That came out of nowhere, eh? That flashed you right up in your mind, did it, Rum?
I expected Kelly to jump all over that one and say something, but you didn't bite. That's okay.
No.
We're casual. So what's going on then? What's creating the accessibility issues at Gatineau Parkway?
So Jim Kite, who is very well known in Ottawa, he's a former NHLer who is deaf. He wrote the op-ed, which brought some of these issues to light. I wasn't aware this was going on, and it never occurred to me. So there are several accessible parking spots for use in the park. Some of the trails are accessible. And there's a paranordic ski trails in the wintertime as well. During the pandemic, I didn't mention that the Gatineau Park is owned by the National Capital Commission, and we don't have time to get into my feelings on the National Capital Commission, or as we call it around here, the NCC. So they made the decision to try a pilot project to close the Gatineau Parkway to motor vehicles during May and June and restricting access to, and I'm using air quotes here, active users only. So people who enjoy walking, running, biking, and other outdoor activities. So Jim, who a lot like other people uses the parkway for biking, was really excited to have this advantage because he's deaf and he uses hearing aids. He doesn't bike with his hearing aids in, so having no vehicles on the parkway was a really big bonus for him. But he started thinking about it, and he realized that this, well, it's good for him, this could be very discriminatory for other people. And I'm going to use his words here because he said it very well. So the pilot closed off access to 13 parking lots within Gatineau Park. Many of them have beautiful vistas, lake views, and picnic grounds. How far were Canadians with limited mobility expected to travel to enjoy sunrise at Pink Lake, sunset at Tiembuel Lookout, or a picnic at Mallaville Lake? So he really kind of summarized, like, you think, oh, that's great. Like, they've let the people use the parkway, no cars. That sounds great. But if you can't get to those areas without using a bike or walking or hiking easily and relied on these accessible parking lots, you were discriminated against. So to add insult to injury, so to speak, the NCC then did a survey during this time of the users, asking them what they thought of the pilot project. So you're asking people who can get access to this very easily, but to think about all this sudden renewed access.
Yeah.
They only allowed vehicles on the parkway on Sunday afternoons from 1 p.m. until shortly after sunset, starting in July through Fall Rhapsody. And to say it was chaos is an understatement. The cars were lined up for miles to try to get in. But it also meant people with certain disabilities could only access the park at those times. So to summarize, they asked people who were able to access the park where they thought about it. It might have been an unconscious bias, but it still is a huge bias. This year, they were actually smarter, and they did a survey that actually ended earlier this week to ask everybody online what they thought about this. I know Jim was really pushing the survey on social media to make sure everybody had a say. So we'll see what happens this year. So the NCC is usually very good about things like this. I have other issues with them, but they're usually very good about disability issues. But it's a really unconscious bias when you start to add up all these different things that happened, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the thing is, Karen, like, even as you're saying this, you said Jim went through his own realization of, oh, okay, yeah, this is what it means for people who don't even have the access, right? And let alone the people who have the access and they're like, yeah, this is a great idea. So we got to be conscious of all that stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, usually the NCC is very good. So they're hopefully rectifying it by doing an online survey this year that's open to everybody to ask what they think about it. And like I said, we'll see what happens. I know, Rami, I was thinking of this story when I thought of you. I can see you loving this place. Like, the beaches, the hills, the hiking trails. It's just, it's a lovely experience. The smells, the nature up there is amazing. The sounds you hear are incredible.
Everything sounds so good.
They're playing me off, aren't they?
Yeah. We'll talk to you later. Let you know if we're making it a Monday thing, okay?
Talk to you later, guys. Have a good day. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Karen McGee joining us from Ottawa. She's our content development specialist over there.
In the next hour, Chatty Bookshelf, we'll do Cut for Time, but Bill's next with The Buzz.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.